us in a field. How your heart's as cold as ice, cold as ice. Worrying, all my worrying, never knew what I was worrying about. Oh, and running, all my running, never saved me from running out. Looking back, something's changed. You can see it in my eyes. Used to try to hold on to what was mine all along. I found the change of heart. Now I don't even care. No, baby, don't have to try to ease my mind.
Reptar, don't you? Of course you do. Who wouldn't like a big, mean, green, fire-breathing dinosaur that smashes cities? Yeah, you know, he's a close personal friend of mine. You know, check him, he found his lost baby. It all started one day, long, long ago.
And joining us right now at PMP Network, we got a bunch of people on all at once here because, you know, it's cheaper by the dozen. We actually have with us the voice of Tommy Pickles, but also the voice of Buttercup on the Powerpuff Girls. Let me check. Hold on. We have Babe from Babe Pig in the City and Rudy Tabooty from Chalk Zone. They're all here right now. This is amazing. All at once, the phone bills, wind spearing, no expenses to get all these people on. And also, we also have a famous singer and actress on. You know, you can go see something called Listen Closely, directed by Sal Romeo. It's a one-woman original contemporary autobiographical musical that stars someone who also, I have in my hand a CD, too, from called Tearing Down the Walls, and I guess there's even another one on that I haven't seen yet. But all these people doing this, it's the same person. She must be sleepless. It's E.G. Daily. Hi, E.G., how are you?
How's it going?
Oh, my. Unbelievable.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, it gets tiring, right, being all these people. Actually, it just means I have more energy.
I guess so.
It just means I just have all these different people's energies floating around me, which is pretty cool.
I think, you know, we had at one point, I think her name was Cheryl Close, who plays Angelica on Rugrats.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah. And this was when my kids were younger, and I said to her, "Can you say the following?" And she did. And what I did is I had my kids in my car, and the machine comes on. They're listening to the radio, and all of a sudden it comes, the voice comes on, and she says, "Hey, babies, you, that's right, Lisa and Danny, I'm going
to
kill you. This is Angelica." And they're like,
yeah,
looking around.
We like to freak people out with our voices.
That was very, very funny.
Yeah, it's fun when you're in an elevator with a bunch of kids, and then all of a sudden you do like, "Oh, could you push number 3, please?" And then they look up at you like you're, you know, like the sky just fell.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that most of them think, "Oh, you're just doing an impression of
yeah,
Tommy
Pickles."
Yeah,
that's what they might think, but it's just so close that they can't imagine.
Mm.
It's just too sounds too much like the real thing.
Because a lot of people do impressions.
Yeah, they do. That's true. But little kids don't really get that whole, yeah, I guess they do the little impression thing. But then you just tell them, you say, "No, I do, Tommy," and then they freak out.
See, they do freak out because you're a woman.
Yeah, that is always a little bit of a weird thing. Sometimes we don't tell them because you don't want to burst the little kid's imaginary bubble.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want them to know that Tommy's really a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
You know? But
yeah.
But you've done so many different voices, and I guess that, you know, after a while, they must kind of blend together. Tell us a little bit about how you get into that, because that's a great thing. I do a lot of voices myself and around the Boston market, but tell us a little bit about how you got into it yourself, because it's fascinating.
Well, basically, ever since I was a little kid, I was able to do like little voices, like little baby voices, and little sort of imitating people's little tones and making fun of people by just really being able to mimic their voices. So, you know, being an actor, I was always doing acting. So I basically learned how to act, and then when I was doing this play once about 16 years ago, I did this play, and in the play, I had to do all these different. I had to be a female wrestler, and each round of the wrestling, I was a different age. So I went from being a baby to a 5-year-old to six, 7-year-old to a 10-year-old to a 15-year-old to a grown woman. And in that, somebody came and saw me and said, wow, you really do these voices, and they really sound like the age ranges you're giving them, and they sound like, you know, people, you know, it just sounds like those ages. And so I was like, well, cool. And he's like, you should really pursue this voice thing. And I have this brother of mine who actually used to say, you know, you should work on that voice stuff. You're real good at that stuff. You should do that. My story, the journey of it, is all in this one-woman play, Listen Closely. There's a lot of journey of the process of all of it, among other things. But at any rate, I ended up having an agent show up and handed me his card and said, you really should, it was just like a Hollywood story. He handed me his card and said, you should do this voiceover stuff. You're real good at that. And next thing you know, it was like the first main thing that I booked was the Rugrats.
Really?
I've been doing that for about 15 years. Yeah, because that's been running, oh, I don't know, 12 years now, 13 years.
Hard to believe
it. I started recording them a few years before that. So, and that was, the rest was history. I just started working and working.
Because Buttercup also became huge, the Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls was the show that we did the demo, and that show didn't get picked up until like 5 years later. And then they called and said, remember the pilot you did? Well, they're picking it up, and they want you to do, they want to do a series on that. And then that show became a big success, and that was just another one of those things, you know, sort of a fluke.
Now, is it now that you're doing all these things and playing characters that people easily recognize, is it something now that people call and say, hey, gee, I got a character for you to do, or do you still have to try out and put your name in there for all the stuff?
They just straight will hire me because they know that I can do a pretty big, wide range of voices. And that's the other thing on the website, egdaily.com. EGDAILY. There is like a sample of one of my demos on there so that you can hear what it is that an actual voice demo sounds like. It basically sounds like about 20 different people on one-minute tape. You'll hear like 20 different voices. So basically, what was the initial question? Then I got sidetracked. What was your initial question?
I think you're answering it.
Yeah.
I want to know how you get into it. So
yeah, maybe. So basically you just, you know, basically, you just continue to, you know, my theory is you learn how to be a great actor, and then you want to get a tape made with a lot of the voices that you do really well, and then the more versatile you are, the more work you get, the more your voices, you can tweak your voice and make different age ranges and stuff, the better it is. There's a lot of fun work to be had in the voiceover world.
Have you had an instance where someone came to you with a character and you really, really were kind of stumped at what they wanted? Do people actually say you
that was your stuff? You know, not really. Usually I'll go in on audition and they'll say, we want this character to sound a little bit older than what you're doing, or a little younger, or he's a little bit fatter, or he's a little thinner. And that actually affects the voice, too. Because
right.
A kid that wants to be a little huskier might talk like this, but he's got more chubby cheeks. Whereas, you know, someone that's more brainy might be a little more like, well, we're not really sure, but we think that maybe that's the right answer. He might be a little more articulate. So, character, sometimes you'll go in and read for something and they'll say, that's exactly what I want. And sometimes they'll say, can you just make him a little older, a little younger? And, you know, and it's really just like turning a dial on a radio. You know, you just sort of tune it into the way you want it to be.
What's the difference in terms of doing a series like Rugrats or doing films in terms of your time commitment?
When you do an animation film or when you do like an actor on-camera film?
The animation film. I assume, like, you know, you did Bam Bam and the Flintstones.
Yeah. Well, we also did the Rugrats movies.
Exactly.
The only difference is the stories are a lot more extravagant and the animation is usually a little bit more high-tech. Besides that, it really is pretty much the same thing. You go into the studio, you run your lines, and you leave. Maybe instead of it taking 2 hours, it'll take 6 hours. Because it's a longer script. But there's really no difference for me as the actor, because it's the same person.
Have you had to work at all with coaches in terms of your voice and your acting, or is it something
that
comes... Have you had to work with coaches in terms of acting and training and voiceover, or is it something that comes natural?
Well, I'm a singer, so I've studied singing my whole life, and I know how to, you know, use my voice, and my voice is... My vocal cords are probably a lot fatter than most people's. I don't know technically exactly, but I know that they're so developed, like such like a bodybuilder might be.
Mm-hmm. You have muscular vocal cords.
I think they might be a little more developed in some ways than most normal people. So I just tweak my voice and, you know, manipulate it. And I'd say that the classes and everything really, you know, just like anything else, going to the gym strengthens the muscles. Working out with your voice strengthens the muscles. studying acting strengthens your acting skills so that you can use your voice and act and someone can believe you using just your voice, you know. The key to being a good voiceover actor is being a great actor.
Of course, also being smart is having people coach you who also direct and cast shows, so like you did.
Yeah, exactly, because a lot of the classes that you take, especially the ones in Los Angeles, a lot of the teachers that teach those classes happen to be the directors, the ones that cast you for the TV series. So if you happen to be really super talented and take one of these classes and they like your voice, they'll put you right on one of the shows. They'll pop you right. I mean, that's happened many times on, like, Chalk Zone, where the director, Jenny McSwain, who's awesome, will just bring someone right in from the class and say, I love this girl. I'm bringing her in for a guest star. And we all are so happy when they bring in new people because it's, you know, it's a nice big open door. There's always open doors for people, which is really nice.
You know, in the early 80s, I interviewed you. I'm sure you don't remember, but I was on a small little station.
Cool.
And you sent me a lovely autographed photo. And one thing I'll never forget was looking at your photo and hearing your voice and the dichotomy that I felt when I saw it. I mean, for kids out there that are listening who are thinking of Tommy or girls that remember the Powerpuffs, you are an exotic beauty that is just amazing. In fact, it's you have a very different look about you. You're absolutely gorgeous. But people, I don't think, would picture you from what you do.
It's kind of hard to, know what somebody looks like by their voice. And go to my website, egdaily.com, E-G-D-A-I-L-Y.
Well, we're going to actually put a link right to it.
Oh, great. Yeah, if you go to the website, there's a lot of pictures of a lot of different things. That's so nice of you to say, though. I appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about Listen Closely. It's autobiographical, and
okay.
It looks like it goes a little wild. I'm looking at the publicity photo, the photos from it, and whoa,
oh,
baby.
Lady.
I like them. Tell me a little bit about it. I know you wrote it.
Yeah, it's an original piece, and basically it's based on a bunch of, it's based on a book which hasn't even been completed yet. It's based on a book that that deals with the journey that I, you know, was pursuing acting and, you know, and how, you know, this little voiceover thing kept tapping me on the shoulder and saying, come over here, and I'd be like, no, not that. I'm an actor, not voices, acting. And, you know, how sometimes you have to, you know, allow yourself to go follow the little intuition that's saying, go do that, that might be cool. And the play is basically, it's called Listen Closely, and it's based on this book that I wrote, and it's based on this journey, and there's a lot of funny Hollywood chronicles of my journey, but there's a lot of incredible lessons that I learned that people can learn from that won't have to maybe do the same mistakes that I did necessarily, but will definitely not feel alone, because the play basically taps on everything, any kind of issue. I mean, it taps into eating disorders, it taps into, you know, addiction disorders, not different kinds of addiction and disorders, or it taps into relationships, painful relationships, and religion. It taps into the voiceover world, and it taps into Hollywood and visuals, and how you sometimes we tend to be a little more obsessed about our outsides rather than the inside. So the play really just, there's not anybody that has seen the play that hasn't left it being shaken up somehow, because there's no one that has come and seen it that hasn't been moved by it somehow. There have been men in their in 70s that have left it, but one guy that comes back over and over again that's in his 70s, and then there are men that you think are just, oh, they're just so hip and so cool, they're not going to be able to allow themselves to be vulnerable enough to really allow themselves to feel the play, but they do. And then women, and, you know, it's not really recommended for children under 13 because it deals with some adult issues, but everyone relates to this show, and everyone leaves it having some incredible shake-up on the inside. And it's basically, the reason why that happens is because it's all based on truth, everything in it. And there's a lot of scandal, and, you know, I don't know if you guys all know the Paris Hilton sex tape scenario. Are you familiar with that?
I am, and it was Rick Solomon, who
Rick
I guess
Solomon
you...
happens to be my kid's father and my ex-husband.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I know that.
You
yeah.
do?
Yes.
How did you know that?
Because I know everything. He was a boxer, and...
yeah, he was a boxer.
Yeah, I know.
He's
and now he's married to Shannon Doherty, isn't he?
No, they're divorced.
Oh, okay.
No, they divorced. But yeah, so she was the stepmother of my kids for a little while.
And God.
So there is a lot of scandal in the play as well, as far as, like, you know, stuff about the marriage. Nothing that hurts him, because I love him and he is my kid's dad. And
did Rick ever put the camera on you guys?
Well, Rick, oh, that's, you know, if he did, it's in my possession. I would never let a tape go out that to anyone. First of all, Rick would never want to exploit me, probably because I'm the mother of his children.
Mm-hmm.
And he, again, he didn't initially release that tape. He didn't have anything to do with that. That was just, it was sold, and he didn't know about it. And then once it was out there and everybody was making money on it, he was like, well, this is crazy. You know, this is my butt out there, too. And that's when he turned around and thought, well, everybody seems to be reaping but himself. And that's where he turned around and said, I'm just going to release it myself instead of let everybody else release it. And you know, it was basically, so basically, no, the answer is he didn't. We didn't. He never would release anything on me, and if there was any tapes on me, it would be in my possession. I would be very careful about something like that.
You know, we mentioned in this, obviously this play has plenty of juice in it because
it's got a lot of juice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to know a little bit about your family when you grew up, because I was wondering. First of all, before we even get into the family, you have a large tattoo on your shoulder. I can't figure out what it is, but I want to know how long ago. Excuse me.
Salamander.
How long ago did you have that put on?
Oh, gosh, I would say maybe, maybe 17, 15 years ago.
Mm.
17 years ago. I don't remember when I got it exactly, but I would say over 16 years ago.
I'm just curious to see it.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about where you grew up and a little bit about your family.
You know, I was raised in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Hollywood. Right smack in the middle, and I was sort of a Hollywood baby. I mean, I spent a lot of my time when I was 16, 17, 18 up at the clubs, you know, when I had my fake ID. I shouldn't say that, but you know, when I was real young, I was up at the Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
at the Strip, and going to the Roxy and the Rainbow, and I had local bands my whole life, and I was raised in a big family. There's five of us, and it was a pretty earthy family. Like, we weren't Hollywood snobby people. We just lived in a little house, and we...
Anybody in the family in the show business? What, mom and dad in the show business?
They really, mom and dad were little Europeans that came out here. They're little French-Jewish Europeans, and they came out here with absolutely no money and lived in the back of a guest house in one room with three kids. And then they had my brother and I, and then they had five kids, and then they slowly developed a little business and worked their way up to where... they had a company, and then we had a little house that we lived in. So it was a pretty nice upbringing in that it wasn't fancy. It was just pretty normal, and you know, we played capture the flag on the lawn, and we built things out of cardboard boxes, and we played outside on the grass as opposed to had PlayStations and video games. We really just were raised in a pretty normal little moderate neighborhood. And
I heard you had a lot of animals, too.
We had a lot of animals. We had... yeah, we had ducks and chickens and a goats in our backyard, which was pretty much illegal at the time. But we had a farm that we were also raised on the weekends we went to for most of our growing up as kids. And so we were always used to being around farm animals and having a lot of affinity for animals. And,
see, you know, there's one thing I wouldn't have guessed about you is that you had some Jewish blood in you.
Yeah, I'm a Jew. I'm a full-blown Jew.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, you would never know because I look kind of exotic, I think.
You do. I mean, there's no clue at all there, but that's
Yeah. Nothing
wrong with that.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to real quickly hit on something else because I know it's probably part of the play as well. But talk about John Eric Hexum for
John
a moment.
John Eric Hexum was a boyfriend of mine when I was about 21, 22, and I was madly in love with him. And he actually, which is ironic, is he actually came to see me at my first real professional play that called Tansy that ended up winning all these Drama Critic Awards. And it was the only other play I've done in all this time. That's why this play is so significant, because it's the first one I've done in a very long time. And he came to see me in the play you know, basically called me at like 2 in the morning and said, oh, I've seen you in your play and I've fallen in love with you. And I was like, hmm.
You must get lots of calls. You probably get lots of calls like that.
I loved it. It was great. And he was, do I get lots of calls at 2 in the morning from...
from guys telling you that you're in love with you, of course. I'm sure that happens every night to you, but that's...
Probably not enough lately. I've been so busy, that's what's missing. But now I don't let people call me too late because I have kids. So I'm like, don't call my house at a certain time. But he ended up calling me in the middle of the night. He got my number from my leading man in that play at that time, and we ended up going out, and he was this very handsome...
he was a model, wasn't he?
Model, yeah. Actor that was just doing some very big things. He was on a TV series called The Voyagers, and he was in a movie called The Making of the Male Model with Joan Collins, and then he ended up starring in his own primetime series. And he was playing with a prop gun on the set and put it up against his head, and it went off, and he basically lost his life in an instant from a prop gun. So it was just a very weird, traumatic thing to go through at 22 for myself, and I pretty much just kind of checked out and numbed out about it because it was pretty heavy, and that's the kind of stuff that goes on in my play. There's a lot of deep-rooted things that
I can see that.
That at the time, I actually think I numbed out of because I couldn't handle it. But when I was writing this book, it all came up in such a way that I almost couldn't write it because it was so unbelievably dramatic at times. I was like, I cannot believe. And reading it as like a third person, but it was me that I was reading about, I was like, oh my God, I can't. No wonder why I sort of numbed out, and no wonder why I operated the way I did growing up, checking out in certain ways, because things that occurred that were so dramatic and powerful, good and bad, you know, on every level, you know.
Yeah.
Then I had a number one dance single, and then my marriage was wild, and my husband ends up being this huge scandal, and then there were so many different, always just so big, everything was always so big, and that was a pretty dramatic situation for me in my life. That's one of the most dramatic things, you know, obviously.
So at this point in your life, first of all, you have two children?
I have two little girls, yeah.
How old are they?
They're 6 and 1 and 8.5. One's going to be 9 soon.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Has your social life calmed down? Are you with one person, nobody, or what's going on?
You know, I am truly at the moment very single and very okay with it. And I've been really just focusing on the play, which has been a huge production because it is a musical. It's a one-woman musical, but it's all original, a lot of original music. And again, it's a pretty heavy project. It is the most challenging project I've ever done so far. People that like my records will love it because there's so many new songs, and there is a soundtrack record with the play that's going to be available as well. So that's a great way for people to get some new music of mine, because I seem to be getting a lot of emails from people going, when's your new record? When's your new record?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, too. I love your voice. You got a great voice, and also you write some pretty good songs, too.
Thank you. The songs are all... that's the thing. See, the title of the song is Listen Closely, which is, if people were to look at me, they would go, wow, she looks like that. I don't know, she's little, and she's petite, and she's blah, 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 and she's cute or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, if you would listen to the records I was making, they were all very autobiographical. They were like journals, and they spoke the truth. So if you listen closely to the lyrics of my songs, that was what was really going on for me. Whereas on the outside, everything was all nice and covered up and perfect together, you know, and pretty, and that's what the whole play is about. It's about covering up what you're feeling on the insides with, you know, putting together these nice outsides, you know, with the pretty package. But the truth was, the truth of the insides needed to come out, and that's what happened in this play.
I was reading the Tearing Down the Walls and listening to the lyrics on that.
Yeah.
Dealt with babies and Breath of Heaven, and of course it was also co-executive produced by Rick Solomon, so
yeah, exactly.
I kind of knew where that was coming from. But
well, Ricky was actually the one who supported me in making that record, because we were, you know, he was the one that said, each at the time nobody was getting signed, and I didn't feel like doing the grind and the hustle to get a deal, and I really just wanted to make a record. So I basically kind of put off my on-camera work to be a mommy and do all the voiceover work, which was very prolific and very successful for me, and also gave me the time to be a mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick said, you know, it's time for you to make another record. You know, let's do it ourselves. And he really encouraged me. And next thing you know, we're in the studio, and I produced it, and he assisted me with it. And it came out the way I wanted, and I hired the people I wanted. And that record, if you go to Amazon.com, I think that's the only place that's available, because we self-released it, but... it's the reviews are unbelievable on that record. It seems to be everybody's favorite record, no matter how much time has passed since I did it a few years back ago. People just love that record. And to date, I get emails and orders. Every week we get orders on that CD, completely word of mouth, completely from word of mouth.
Well, I got to say that for myself, I think that the songs are great and your voice is amazing. In fact, a film critic, Roger Ebert, once said that your voice should be bronzed. And people out there who don't know this, you've written songs for and then sang them on like Scarface, The Breakfast Club, Summer School, Better Off Dead, and of course Babe 2, Pig in the City, which you also voiced the title character. So
exactly right.
You've done a lot of stuff in terms of music, and for folks out there who haven't heard it, you should go to egdaily.com because you'll be greeted by one of the songs. It's beautiful.
Changing Faces is actually on the soundtrack of the new play, and it's also in the new record. It's a beautiful song. You're going to see the transformation between my last records, people that have had my last records, and Tearing Down the Walls, and this very new album where you're going to really see the deepening of the lyrics and the deepening of the songs, where in growing up and becoming a single mother, you know, and being single mom, as you single moms out there know, is tough. And it is the most incredible thing, you know, most rewarding and the most incredibly gratifying, but it's tough. And you're going to hear the journey in the new lyrics on the new record, which is not available yet. It's the soundtrack of the play is going to be available on my website once the play opens. But it's a pretty interesting thing to see the transformation in the words and the songs. It's pretty.
I'd like to get a copy of it when it comes out so we can check it out.
Sure, you got to try to see the play.
All right, well, see if I can get to New York. I'm not sure if I'll be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it might
LA.
Actually go to New York at some point. So
yeah, it's in L.A. now, but...
it's in L.A.
Yeah.
The Court Theater in Los Angeles. And if people are interested in tickets for this play, it's plays411.com.
PLAYS411.com is the address,
yeah. plays411.com. The play is called Listen Closely.
I want to ask you about, you also have a couple of films coming out, I understand. The Devil's Rejects with Rob Zombie directing, and also one that looks really interesting, National Lampoon's Pledge This, where you play Paris Hilton's mom.
How ironic is that? That was crazy. That was just absolutely crazy for the fact that, well, obviously she ended up, you know, doing this whole scandal with my ex, and there was a period of time where we weren't really talking, Paris and I, and then, you know, then cut to I'm being cast as her mom in this movie, and the next thing you know, I'm flying to Florida and walk on the set, and everybody was worried we were going to pull each other's hair out because of some history that we had.
Uh-huh.
But in fact, it was actually very sweet and funny, and we just, you know, it was a very sweet thing between us now as far as because of the history, which is cool. And yeah, next thing you know, I'm playing her mom. The other National Lampoon Pledge This is Paris is, I think it's their first big starring movie, and I do the role of Katherine Johnson, her mother, as a cameo, but I play her mom, this very like Tammy Faye Baker type of lady, very like funny lady, and then Devil's Rejects,
mm-hmm.
is the sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses, directed and written by Rob Zombie. And Rob is just an amazing, unbelievably talented guy, creative. I mean, everything he does is just so visually unbelievable. So I ended up being cast as Candy, which is a pretty important part in that movie coming out in, I think, the summer, sometime in the summer. And it's a pretty crazy movie. It is rated R, though.
Mm.
But that comes out in the summer. And then I also did another film. That should be out in the summer, called Mustang Sally, where I play Mustang Sally. It is kind of a scary movie, and I play the madam of this house, and we end up killing all these guys, and it's pretty crazy and nutty.
And then, want to also remind people, too, because you are a mummy, and many people out there are mummies and daddies, that you also collaborated with Debbie Derryberry and did some children's songs, right?
Debbie Derryberry is my best friend, and... she actually does the voice of Jimmy Neutron, which is really funny because Jimmy Neutron and Tommy Pickles are best friends.
Mm.
Not only that, but she actually cut the cord for my babies in the hospital when my children were born, and I cut the cord for her babies, which is pretty private and personal, but I just love the fact that she's Jimmy Neutron and I'm Tommy Pickles, and she's my best friend.
And she does a lot of South Park stuff, too.
What's that?
She does a lot of stuff for South Park.
She does, Eliza Schneider is actually one of the co-writers on my play. And she does a lot of the voices for South Park. So Debbie Derryberry and I and Eliza Schneider had all collaborated on a project called Rusty Lulu and Magical Izzy, which is a children's sing-along CD and booklet, which is really cute. And I'm not sure where that's going to be available eventually on the website and at stores like Toys R Us and Target, some of those stores.
People will be able to go to egdaily.com and to get all their shopping done.
Yeah, right. I don't have a big shopping thing. I'm not into the... I mean, basically the CDs are available, but eventually the Rusty Lulu Magical Izzy will be in the soundtrack for the new play will be on that. But
well, if you want to see, if you, if Folks, if you want to see, listen closely for the sights, the sex, the scandals, the songs, the fun. Listen closely. New show is Great Songs. It's got a world premiere engagement, and it's at the Quit Theater in L.A. from February 18th to March 27th. And again, if you want tickets, go to plays411.com. And you should definitely visit.
If you want to go right to it, plays411.com/listen. That's how you can get right to the my page for my play.
Okay.
It is also being directed. I'm sorry, it's also one of the producers on it is Rob Zombie now, ironically.
There you go. Yeah, associate producer.
Yeah,
but Sal Romeo is really doing the directing on it.
He directed it.
He helped write it as well.
Rob come on as a producer. And the premiere is going to be crazy, and there's going to be lots of really fun people there. The 18th, which is a private night, but it's going to be really fun. I'm sure you
will. Well, I'm looking at some of the costumes you're going to be in based on this postcard. I like it.
Yeah. Most men like the postcard. Most men like this play for some reason. Aside from the fact that I'm barely dressed, they like it. It's pretty real and deep, and most people like anything that's real. I think anything that's genuine taps into people's hearts, and that's what this play is.
It sounds cool to me, and also the postcard with all the depictions of the voices that you do as well. That's great. Well,
yeah,
E.G., it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. I'm just going to encourage you, don't miss this play. If you're in L.A. and you get a chance to see it, come see it. If you order tickets in advance, they're $20. If you order them online, if you order them at the door, they're $25.
So save money and order them online.
Order them online, and don't miss it if you can. You'll really love it, and you'll love the new music.
If you're ever coming east at all to Boston or the New York, you got to call me.
I'll be in New York at some point.
I'll take you to lunch.
That would be really sweet. I'm going to hold you to that.
That's fine.
As soon as we go to New York, I'll make sure that I email you, and you can just share with everyone that will be in New York at some point with the play. Listen closely.
It was a pleasure talking to such a nice Jewish girl.
Why, thank you so much. It's nice talking to you, too.
Hey, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.